Today, I entitle the sermon, What Am I Willing to Do? It's actually from 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, first part of it, 1 to 23. That was an assigned topic to me. For those of you that have been attending Ferris Park, you would realize that we've been going through a sermon series on 1 Corinthians. So we're now at chapter 9. Just a little bit of background, why we went in through this 1 Corinthians preaching series. God gave the leadership of this church the theme for this year, which is to build relationship with one another and with God through the Word. So 1 Corinthians was then used. We felt that this is the appropriate series to go through to help us develop this team. So we're now on chapter 9. Before I go into chapter 9, I wanted us to give us a little bit of background so we don't get lost in this chapter. We don't get lost in the detail and forget why 1 Corinthians was written. Can you move the slide one? 1 Corinthians is a letter Paul wrote to the church that he founded in Corinth. This church was not doing that well. The church is in a city that Corinth that has many worldly influences, not too dissimilar to Penang, where Ferris Park is part of. The church was corrupted with a lot of worldly influences, maybe because a lot of the new believers came in with baggages of their previous life. Just like us here, we bring into with us, even though we gain our salvation through believing in Christ, but we bring along baggages from our past. And this baggages was brought into the church. And division started to occur over various issues. And these division among the church actually affected their witness for Christ in the city. So Paul wrote this letter to try to address these issues in the church. So he wrote the letter, and at the right beginning of 1 Corinthians, he already laid out the reason he wrote the letter. He asked the church to preserve unity, not for the sake of this unite, being thinking alike, but for a purpose. And it shows in these two verses that I want to read to you. I appeal to you, or I urge you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he actually used Lord Jesus Christ to urge them. That all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are united in the same mind and the same judgment. And then if you go to verse 17, it says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So before we go into the passage today, I want us to remember this thing. The letter was written to urge the body of Christ to unite, and unite for a purpose. The purpose is so that the gospel will be preached. Not just with words, of eloquence and wisdom, but what he meant was with how we carry ourselves, how we live our life. Okay? So that is the purpose of Paul writing this whole letter. Now, we as a preaching sermon series, we didn't go through the whole letter all in one shot. So we go through a component of them. And sometimes when we do that, we may lose sight of this overarching goal of Paul. So when we go in through today's sermon, I want us to remember this. The purpose is to urge us to unite and ultimately so that we can be an effective witness for Christ to the world. So, in the past few months, we have been going through some of these topics. These are issues, divisive issues within the church in Corinth. And it's also a divisive issue potentially in our midst. We talk about tolerating sexual immorality within the church. We talk about lawsuits between believers. And we talk about even sexual relationship within a marriage, divorce, circumcision, even to marry or not to marry, staying single. And last week, Dr. Thomas Chin preach on eating food offered to idols. These are all issues that have various opinions among the believers in Corinth. And even today, among believers, there are differences in stand on some of these issues. And if you remember when we go through these studies, oftentimes they are not clear cut. Sometimes it may be clear cut, but not in theological manner, but not clear cut in application. They are all difficult issues. So remember this. That these are issues that is not clear cut. But we, human beings, have this nature. We want to know what is right and what is wrong. We want to know exactly what is the rule. We want to know how I should carry myself as a believer. Okay, I'm a believer, I should do this, 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 and this. If I do this, 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 and this, I'm right. I'm living right. That's our human nature. And I want to just remind us that sometimes when we so focus on what is right and what is wrong, we can miss the big picture. I want to remind us one thing. When we started to develop this list of do's and don'ts, we can easily turn our faith from a relationship with God into a religion practice, into a religious practice. If I do this, 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 I'm walking right with God. And if I know all these things, I am, and I do them, I am walking right with God. And we miss the relationship component of our faith. And I bring us back to Genesis. You know, the tree is named the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And when the serpent come and tempt mankind, he actually uses it. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The point I'm trying to make here is that we want knowledge, but when we gain knowledge and we rely only solely on our knowledge, and we may trade up our relationship with God. So when we go through all these divisive issues, we each of us may form certain knowledge base, and we may actually in the process, instead of forming unity, it may cause disunity because we think we know this is the right thing and the other person's opinion or thoughts is wrong. And it defeats the entire purpose of why Paul wrote this letter to the church, urging us to unite, urging the Corinthians to unite, so that the gospel is witnessed by the church, so that we are living a life worthy of witnessing for Christ. So I want us to remember this. Gaining knowledge is not bad, it's good. Keep in mind that our knowledge, we have a limited mind, and God's wisdom is infinite. We can be wrong in our opinion, in our view. So when we and when we approach today's study, I want us to remember, keep that in the back of our mind, so that we don't miss the big picture. Let me ask, who remember the sermon from last week? Dr. Thomas Chin. When I ask you, what is the sermon about? What do you typically would say? I think most people would say, eating food offered to idols. Is that the main point of the sermon? So, the point I'm trying to stress is that sometimes we remember the, oh, should I eat or not eat? Should I do this or not do this? But we forget the big picture. So, is it about whether we can eat food offered to idols? The main point is actually Dr. Thomas actually tried to mention a few times. But I expanded the verses to 33. He shared 31. So whether you eat or think or drink, or whether you do it all to the glory of God. It's not just eat or drink. Whatever you do. So it's not just about eating food offered to idol, but whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And then the verse Paul then further defined what is doing it to the glory of God means. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks, to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. The point I'm trying to stress is that it links back to the overall Paul's purpose of writing the letter, urging us to unite. The purpose is, but that of many, that they may be saved. Again, it's important topic that Paul talked about in all these divisive issues. Those are things that pleases and displeases God, and God expects us to live a life that's worthy of His calling to us. But let us not miss the important point. The whole reason that we live a life glorifying to God is because we want to glorify Him. But in the process of living a worthy life, it leads many to be saved. That's the purpose that God leaves us here in this world. I think if my quota of saving souls is done in this earth, God have used me to reach all the people that he wanted me to reach. It's time for me to go to him. He doesn't no longer need me to stay in this world because I can still glorify him in heaven. But I can only work to save soul for him when I'm here in this world, in the midst of people that do not know him. So I want us to remember these few things before we go into the passage this week. And this week's passage, chapter 9, is actually wedged between a whole chapter 8 to 10, all talking about food offered to idol. So, when we go through today's passage, I want you to keep that in context of the whole 1 Corinthians and also where this passage is wedged between, remembering last week's message as we go through today's passage. Okay. I'm going to do this instead of me talking alone. I'm going to give you about 25 minutes. So to break out, bring out your Bible and discuss. So move the chair. Feel free to move the chair. About 10 people per group. Suhina, can you help me with the... I have a group that we lead, the boys to men's. Can you go meet over there at the table? All the boys. And the rest, can you... Usher, can you help me? You can please gather around a group of 8 to 10 people. And as you gather, okay, after you gather around a small group, the usher will pass around some name tags and pen. Please write down your name. Spend some time introducing yourself to each other very quickly. And also in the process, I want you to identify one facilitator in your group. So one facilitator in your group. And yeah, I see a group there already. You guys can form a group. You can move the chair. Okay. So take some time introducing yourself to each other. And then also select one facilitator in your group. Okay. I'll give some instruction to the facilitator. Do you have a facilitator already, each group? You can volunteer yourself to be a facilitator. Do I have a facilitator for each group? Please raise your hand. Okay. Okay, can the facilitators, please pay attention. Your job is to facilitate discussion. Your job is just to make sure that people get a chance to talk. Your job is to encourage them to share their views. Your job is also make people comfortable. If you really don't want to share, it's okay. Okay, if you really don't want to share, it's okay. But I do encourage you to share, because when we share what God is telling us through reading His words, we're encouraging each other. Okay? Also, one last thing. A facilitator's job is not to teach. Okay? So the facilitator's job is not to add on to someone sharing or to teach or to correct. I will give you until 11:50. Then I reserve the last 10 minutes for me to summarize. That's when hopefully I can share with you what God has been telling me about this passage. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians. You bring out your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 to 23. It's okay if you are not familiar with doing this. You can just sit and listen. It's okay. Okay, because as you listen, you may hear wisdom from fellow believers. Okay, so quickly introduce the group to each other, and then you can start your discussion. Can you bring up my slide, please? Okay, so this is to guide you in your discussion. Let me pray for us before we start. Dear Lord, we come to you now as your children. We come to you because of what Jesus has done for us. We can come to you now and have understanding of your word because you have given us your Holy Spirit. And it says in your word, your Spirit will teach us and will give us wisdom and will give us understanding. So, Lord, all of us here have this Spirit. And you, we trust that as we engage with your word, read word, the scripture, your breath, your Spirit will guide us and give us wisdom. So, Lord, that's what we're asking you to do for us this morning, that you will use us to encourage each other. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can also join one of the group, please. If you haven't, you probably should move to why is Paul willing to give up these rights? That's actually a more interesting question than the first question. Why is Paul willing to give up these rights? I think you should move on. You have about 10 more minutes. So, there's this interesting concept in there called the law of Christ. So you may want to what is this law of Christ? And I have give you a reference to refer to understand what is the law of Christ in Matthew Chapter 22. The context of the question about law of Christ is because Paul actually said, with the people under the law, I live under the law. With the people not under the law, I live like them. But I live under the law of Christ. That's why it's important to understand this law of Christ, what it means. It's not like we live without law, with people without law, but we live still under the law of Christ. You have about 5 minutes. You should be at the last two questions at least by now. Okay, you should start to wrap up. 1 more minute. Okay, can you finish off your last sentence and raise your hand, the facilitator, if you're done? Please finish off your last word. Okay, you can stay where you are. Let me just let people finish. I'm very glad to see a lot of you contributing, sharing, talking to each other, reading the Word. Maybe I should allow more time next time, but I have to, so that I can let you go to your lunch in time. I may need your attention. You can stay where you are. Please don't take away the marker pen. That's my personal one. Give it back to the usher. Okay. This question of why is Paul willing to give up his rights? What is Paul's motivation? And what is Paul trying to tell us? And that's why I think it's important to remember the bigger picture, overarching goal of the whole 1 Corinthians. And the reason he's willing to do all these things, give up his rights, be willing to please all people, the Jews, the Gentiles, the believers. Can you skip next slide? Because Paul's preoccupation is only one thing. And that's actually the last verse of our study today. I have become all things to all people, that by all means, I might save some. I do it all only for one reason, for the sake of the gospel. Why? Because that I may share with them in its blessing. Paul sees living for Christ as a blessing. He doesn't live an easy life. He's being persecuted, he's jailed, he's stoned, but he viewed that as a blessing. And he, because how he understood the gospel, how he really lived a life of joy, because he had a personal relationship with Christ, not just coming away from his old tradition of rule-based, law-based faith to a personal relationship with Christ. That's why he's dedicating his entire life to one purpose only. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, he's willing to give up taking pay. For the sake of the gospel, he's willing to live like a Jew. Live like a Gentile, eating what they eat, doing what they do. For the sake of the gospel, that's what he's willing to do. But Paul also, it was not assigned to me for my passage, but can you go to the next slide? Paul also gave us a warning. Verse 27, it's not part of the assignment, but I think it's important. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul is willing to give up his rights, live like a Gentile, so that he can save souls. But he is very aware that when we are living in this world, in their corrupt nature, we can easily get corrupted. So Paul said, you know, I do that for the sake of saving other people, but I want to make sure I don't get disqualified. So I think it's important to remember that and not just leave it as where we left earlier on, doing all things for the sake of the gospel. But that's Paul's preoccupation. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, my typo, should not be disqualified. Thank you. man problem. Not God. I type it out in my slide. So that's Paul's warning. So can you move to the last slide? So I want to close today by leaving. I always have parting questions for us to reflect on. This is the question after we learn and discuss the truth that we did today. Am I willing to lay down my rights, my entitlement? You know, I'm entitled to this, that. I should have the right to do this. My comfort, my prejudice, even my laws for the sake of the gospel, in bracket. My laws, not God's laws. Not law of Christ, my laws for the sake of the gospel, so that some may share in my blessing. Are we willing to do that? What is God asking me to do? To lay down, so that more may know him. What is God asking me to lay down? You know, this morning, Alvin talked about why we did all this thing. We didn't coordinate it, but I was thinking about, you know, I came to Ferris Park about 11 years now ago, and it's really a pretty modern service. For my generation, if you talk to these boys, they'll say, oh, old folks service. But I can think of, I look at this corner of the congregation. They are all, some of them are founding members of this church. Back then, the service is not like this. In fact, I think the entrance is here, right? Not there. What the impression I got from the generation that come before me are their willingness to lay down their comfort, their desire, their rights for the sake of my generation. You know, I went to a wedding. I think Jeremy also went. I was seated next to the speaker. And this band, very good band, singing. Nothing wrong with the singing. But it's so loud. I actually went to tell them to turn down the volume a few times, but still very loud. But I endure it. I'm sure that's what a lot of this older generation, senior believers that come before my generation, have to live with every weekend. Wow, this music is not my taste. It's not my style. And you know, this morning I was sitting there, all these little children dancing around. It's actually distracting to me this morning. Which is very apt reminder to myself. What is the purpose of me coming here? To worship God, to honor God. They are also doing that in their way. Am I willing to lay down my comfort, my prejudice, my life, so that other may share in my blessing, so that other may share in knowing God? The reason that among the leadership, the elders and the broader leadership, we're talking about the next generation, is that they are very different. They view faith very differently. Doesn't mean that it's any less than how we view our faith. In fact, the next generation seek for, the biggest hallmark is authentic relationship. They want to hear directly from God. They are not satisfied with just knowing what to do and what not to do from the scripture. They want an authentic relationship. They want a God that talk back to them. They want engagement. They don't want to sit through the whole service listening to Chun talk alone. Right? They want to engage. And that's constantly we hear that. So I want to thank you for accommodating me this morning to doing it this way. Different than a typical sermon. It may be out of your comfort zone. But the whole goal that we're testing out different things is to see how we can accommodate reaching the next generation. I am willing to lay down my rights, my comfort, my prejudices for the gospel, to the next generation. What is God telling you to do? What is God asking you to lay down so that the gospel can be preached to others? To the one that really need to hear. Let's close. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for those people that came before me. How they're willing to lay down their rights, their comfort, to accommodate me knowing you. So that I can share in their blessings. Lord, because of their example, Paul's example, I'm also willing to do so. Lord, I think many of us here is willing to do the same for the sake of the gospel. Lord, we all face different circumstances, different situations, different people that you have predestined for us to share the good news to. So Lord, may you speak to us individually as we leave today. Help us reflect on what we learned today. How Paul is willing to lay down everything for the sake of the gospel. Lord, help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Yeah, you may be dismissed.